Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Opav Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia Daf Samach Dalid. We left off on Daf Samach Dalid, 9 lines from the top of the Amid. Amar Rav Kahana. We learned yesterday the second halacha of Rav Nachman on Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, that when one is paying what we call a forward contract, and when he's buying, the case of Rav Nachman was that someone sold wax. One zuz normally bought 4 cakes of wax, and a buyer is telling the seller, I want to buy wax, and here's money. And the seller tells him, I'll give you the wax later, but I'm going to give you 5 cakes for a zuz. That means he's actually going to give him more than the current value. Rav Nachman said that this is not considered ribis in the case that yeshloi. In other words, as long as the seller then had already the wax, you're allowed to give something for a discount. And the concept of yeshloi justifies, like we mentioned, any type of forward contract, even when it's discounted. And now let's learn something similar. Amar Rav Kahana, that Hava Yosivna Bishili Pirkei Derav, I once came late to Rav's class. I came at the end. Uchmois, and what I heard Rav teaching is the Ka'amar Kare Kare, gourd. He heard something about a gourd. And Veloyodano my Ka'amar. I had no idea what he was talking about because I missed the beginning of the class. So Basar the Kamrav, after Rav got up, so Amri Luhu, I asked the other Talmidim, my Kare Kare the Ka'amarav. What halacha was Rav teaching about a gourd? So Amruli, they told me that Hachi Kamarav, this is what Rav told me, Hai Mandi Yov Zuza Ligino. If a person is giving a coin, he's giving a zuz to a gardener, Akare, he wants to buy gourds, and he's giving him that money during the time that the Ka'azli Asora Kari B'nei Zarto, that for one zuz you can buy 10 small gourds. Small meaning they are only at the length of a zeres. A zeres is a half a amma. So small gourds, a half amas, 3 tvachim, that were only 3 tvachim long, they, for one zuz, you get 10 of those. Now, the gardener wanted to close the deal, so he's enticing the buyer, and he's telling the buyer, V'amalei, listen here, if you're going to give me a zuz now, Yehiv Nalach, I'm going to give you 10 large gourds later. So it's advantageous for you to pay me now. Now, again, here's the issue of, maybe this looks like ribis. True, it's not a loan. And that's important to review. Whenever we're not dealing about a loan, it's never going to be ribis do'eiraisa. But midrabanan, even by a sale, if you pay little now and you wait, and because of your wait, you get something more than what you gave, it looks like ribis. So he told him, I'm going to give you b'nei garmida, I'm going to give you 10 gourds that are a amma's length. So Rav taught, very similar to what we learned before, that if isnuhu, that if the gardener already has 10 long gourds, he already has that product, even though the current price was more. Nevertheless, the seller can discount. And since Yeshloi, we view the buyer as already taking possession of the 10 large gourds, and so what, that he picks it up later when they're larger. But again, only if Isnahu, says Rashi, only if the gardener already has the big, the amma long gourds, then is it shadi. But Leisnahu, but if he does not have these 10 large gourds, then asir, then forward contracting is going to be prohibited because it looks like ribis, because it's ribis midrabanan, says the Gemara Pshita. Yeah, we learned that all these times, that if I'm paying for something now to get it later, then there's always the problem, maybe when I'll get it later, it's going to have more value than the money that I gave you. And therefore, it looks like ribis. And therefore, the only 2 scenarios in which it's permitted is either if the market price came out, yatsa hashar, or if yeshloi. So if einloi, we know that it's aser. So the Gemara says, now there is a chiddush, because mao, the tema you might have said, kiven de memelo korabu. The gardener doesn't have large gourds, but he then had 10 smaller gourds in the ground. And they will grow on their own. So you might have thought that since they will grow on their own, even though he doesn't now have the long ones, but since he has the smaller ones, it's already considered the yeshloi shapir dami. So that was the chiddush of Rav Kamash Malan, that no, that the only time it's permitted is only if the gardener then, during the sale, already had the 10 large gourds. The fact that he has smaller gourds in the ground that grow by themselves does not do it for the yeshloi. Now the Gemara continues, Keman, And Rav will hold like Kihaitana. This opinion is based on the following braisa. The Tanya we learned Haholech Lachloif as Izov, if someone, if a farmer is going to milk his goat, and we're speaking about a farmer that's not going to milk his goat now. It means that he has goats that already have some milk. It's like the small gourds in the ground. And in a couple of days, you know, or the couple of hours, whatever the time is needed for the goats, you know, then the goat is going to be fully loaded with milk. So he's going to be going to milk his goat. Or the ligzois esre chelif, or if a farmer is going to be going later to share his lambs, or the lirdois es kavarto, he's going later to extract honey from his beehives. And the farmer finds his friend. V'amar lein, he tells his friend, listen, let's make a deal. Let's make a business deal. Mashi izai choilvois, whatever will come out of this goat later is machar lecha, is sold to you. Oh, it's give me money now, and I'll deliver the goods later. Or mashi recheli goizazois, machar lech, whatever sharings will come off my lambs, it should be sold to you. Or, and, masha kavarti roida, whatever amount of honey will come out of my beehives, machur l'chad, sold to you. So in all of these cases, says the Braisa, it's permitted, mutar. Now here, the reason why it is permitted is because he did not tell the buyer the quantity. He told him whatever will come out. So when the buyer is giving him money, it's very possible that he's actually going to be doing a bad deal. It's not only that he's going to be getting more later because he waited, maybe he'll be getting less. So here there's bechlal no issue because there was no set amount in the deal. However, Avul says the Braisa, im amar loy, if the farmer tells this potential buyer, mashi izi cholves kach v'kach, that in a couple of days or in a couple of hours when I'm going to milk my goat, I'm going to sell you 5 liters from my goats. And we know how much the current price is right now. Or Masher Echeli Goizos is Kach Vekach Macherloch, whatever it is that I'll share, and it gives a quantity. I'm going to sell you that amount if it goes by weight or if it goes by tons, is sold to you. Or Masher Kavarti, right, the Kach Vekach Macherloch, but if he specifies an amount, and it's possible that when he will deliver it, that commodity will be more valuable, that's the whole issue. And it's a forward contract. It looks like it's ribis midrabanan. So says the braisa, it's usher. Now here we have a gevaldik comparison. Let's not forget that even though the full amount of milk is not yet inside the goat, but some of it is inside the goat. Very much like the small gourds, that some of the gourds or a small gourd is still in the ground. Here you see from the braisa, says the Gemara, that va'afla gav de memela karavu, even though that the milk in the goats will become more some, they're going to multiply on their own. Nevertheless, the braisa says, kiven de leisno vahishata, since you can't say yeshloi, because the amount of the deal is not here, so it's not yeshloi, usher, so therefore Rav Mamish compared the case of the gourds to the case of the braisa. Even though the farmer has in the ground now small gourds that will become 1 amah long and 1 amah's length, but this amah's length is not here now, so you don't have the yesh loy heter, so therefore it's ribis midrabanan. That is one version of this halacha. Now, ikeda amri, other people, it's not that there's another version in Rav, but other people say that Rava said, in the case of the gourds, so I'm going to a farmer. The farmer has gourds in the ground. The gourds now, if you were to take it out now, they're only a zetus long. They're a half a amah in length. And right now, that which he has is worth 1 zuz. 10 is worth 1 zuz. The farmer is telling me, if you give me a zuz now, I'm going to give you the gourds when they are double the length. Says Rava, that even though the double the length is not now in the world, but since they naturally will grow to that length, it's already considered yeshloi and it's permissible. It's not ribis midrabanan. Kiven the memelo karabu shaper dami. Now, if that is what Rava said, so now the braisa becomes a kasha against Rava. V'hatanya, but we learned in the braisa, when it came to the milk, when it came to the sharings, when it came to the honey, that kach v'kach asur, that if they specified an amount, and it's mamash a forward contract, that we don't say, since the farmer has some of that raw material and it's going to grow by itself, we don't consider that yeshlei. So why are the gourds different than the case of the braisa? To which the Gemara gives an amazing answer. So the Gemara says, Hasam, there in the braisa, lav minei korabu. They do not grow from that which exists at the time of the deal. In other words, when there is milk inside the udder of the goat, the milk that's there is there. The additional milk that will be coming won't come from the milk that's here now. It's going to come from the goat.
From the blood.
From the blood. You know, the same thing when it comes to the wool. The wool that's already grown out, that wool won't become longer. New wool will come. And the proof is, says the Gemara, because the shakli leila hai, if you milk the goat now, if you're going to shear these lambs now, if you're going to extract the honey from the beehive now, come back tomorrow, there'll be more milk. The additional milk doesn't need the current milk to come. The shakli leila hai, if you take what's here, others will come into place. So you can't say, if the farmer is selling you 5 liters of goat's milk and inside his animal there's only 2 liters, you can't say yeshloi. Yes, we know that with time it will come, but it will not come from that which he has now. Gevaldik, a gourd is different. A vegetable is different. In other words, if you pluck the vegetable out of the ground prematurely, that's it. So you have no vegetable at all, which means that when it does grow, that which is here itself is growing. So we can already say that the amal long gourd is in the half a amal long gourd. Yeshloi, gevaldik. Hachi over here, minei karabu. The gourd grows from that which is already in the ground. And the proof is, the chishak li lelahai, if you'll take the gourd out of the ground now, lo yasi achriti achrina beduchtei, you won't have additional gourd growing in the ground, which is why Rava, unlike Rav, differentiates the case of the gourd and the case of the braiso. Gevaldik. Moving on. Amar Abaye says, Abaye, that shari leila inish lameimer lachavrei, a person is allowed to tell his friend, heilech arba azuzei, here take for zuz, achavita dechamra, I'm paying you for the barrel of wine. Now what's very interesting in this case of a forward contract, all of the cases that we learned until now is a person going to the salesman, I'm going to the merchant, and I'm paying him now for a product, but I'm telling him I want to buy, let's say, a pound of wheat, like we had in the Mishnah, a kur of chitim. If the deal is kosher and we close the deal, I give him the money, he has to give me that amount of wheat. Furthermore, we said that if yeshloi to the owner, how does it work? It works. Why am I allowed to do it? The question is that maybe when he'll deliver to me the wheat will be worth, you know, more. Because since he had it, when I gave him the money, it's as if I already took possession of it. Ironically, I never specified which pound of wheat. Which actually would mean that if the pound of wheat that the salesman had in mind to sell to me got ruined, that's on the salesman. I'm the buyer. I made a deal. You got to give me a pound of wheat. What happens in a case where the buyer specifies the barrel of wine? I'm giving you 4 zuz, and I want that barrel of wine. But I'm not going to take it now. Whenever you're not taking the merchandise, it's called a forward contract. The heter of a forward contract is because we consider it as if you already own it. You already took it. It's going to become more valuable. So what? After I bought it, mine became more valuable. But what happens here when the buyer, tells the salesman, I'm willing to give you money now. For that barrel, I'm going to pick it up later. But there's one thing. If the wine is going to go sour, if the wine is going to ruin, then the whole sale is canceled. So what would you think? Adding in this condition goes against the heted of Yeshloi. Because if I'm saying that, hey, if it's going to ruin, then I don't want to have it, that means that it's not fully mine. If it's not fully mine, then we're back to the rabbinic fear that it could be that when they're going to deliver it to me, it's going to be worth more money than I gave. So that's ribis, midrabanan. But still in this case, the buyer still told the salesperson that e yakra izila bereshusi. Listen, if the price of this commodity will go up or down, that's on me. If it goes up, I gain. If it goes down, it means when you deliver it, it's worth 3. I gave you 4 zuz, that's on me. So Abaye says, since the buyer is still saying that if it goes up or down, that's on me, that's enough for the yeshloi to work. Now, which is a chiddush again. The chiddush is, because if it works simply because we view the buyer as already owning that commodity, then if it sours, it should be his that soured. Yeah. So that's the Chiddush. And that's why not everyone agrees with Abaya. So Amalei Rav Shereviya to Abaya, turning to Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis, that it doesn't make sense. That Hai Karev L'Schar V'Rochek L'Hefsedu. And as Rashi points out, whenever you make a business deal where the chances of you losing is very little, and this high likelihood that you will profit, it looks more like a loan. It looks less like a sale. And when I buy this from you, it's mine. And if something happens to it, for good or for bad, it's my problem or my benefit. So therefore, Rav Shereviya considers this a loan, and he doesn't allow such a forward contract. However, Amalei Abaye stands, he justifies his position by saying that had the buyer told the seller, only if I'll benefit, then it's mine. But if the price of the commodity goes down, then the sale is nullified, then you're right. Then it's mamish like a loan. And I'm giving you money now to get more money back later, even though I didn't use the words loan, but it's Ribis Midrabanan. But since at the end of the day, the Mikabel Alei Zula, since if the commodity will become devaluated, the buyer will lose, the buyer gave 4 zuz. It could be that when he picks it up, it's only worth 3. The very fact that that possibility is something on the buyer, Karev Lozeu Lozehu, it's not like a loan, it's like we still consider this a sale, the heter of Yeshloi will work. Baruch Ato Adinoi Eloheinu Malach Eilam Shachakor Elim Vedvari. Weiter. These are gewaldike cases. Continuing with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hamalves Chaveira, if someone gives a loan to his friend, during the time of the loan, Lo Yadur B'chatzeiroi Chinam, the lender is not allowed to live in the borrower's property rent-free. And as the Gemara is going to point out, even if the borrower is someone who never rents that location, if the borrower would be renting that location and you move into someone's apartment that they normally rent to someone else, then it's mamish geneva. But as we'll see in the Gemara, we learned in Bava Kama the concept of Zenehen Azalei Chaser, if the borrower owns properties that he does not rent out. So if you live in there, you can't say that you're taking something away from him. Now that you're there, he can't rent it. He anyways wouldn't have rented it. He's not losing anything. And normally in such a case, you would not have to pay. But over here, since you lent money to the borrower, it looks like ribis. It's ribis midrabanan, because you gave him money. What are you getting back? You're getting back that money, plus you lived in his apartment for free. So it's ribis, or it looks like ribis. And likewise, v'lo yisker mimeno b'pachos. Even if the lender wants to pay rent, he cannot get away by paying a lesser amount of rent. Because it is ribis. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what type of ribis is it. So let's begin with the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef bar Manyume, in the name of Rav Nachman, that afal pi sha'amru, even though we were told that hador b'chatzar chaveri shalom midatoi, that if someone lives in someone else's property without their consent and without their awareness, again, speaking out to what we learned in Bava Kama, in the case where the owner is someone that has a yard, the chatzar, the loy, kaima la'agra, he has properties that he does not rent out, then the one who lived in it, who is benefiting from it, cannot be forced to pay, because the one who owns the property is not losing anything by the fact that he's there. And this is very important. This is only if the owner does not normally rent out his properties. If not, it's dangerous, such a halachim. Imagine if you say that if I live in your property, I don't have to pay you, you're causing squatters to multiply in the community, and that's not a good thing. But in the cases where people would not have rented out their property anyway, even though you do not have where to live, so you benefit from it, you needed a roof over your head, but since the owner is not losing anything, Zenehenev, Zelei Chaser, Beis Din will not force you to pay. So even though that's the halacha, however, Hilvohu, but if the lender who wants to be the squatter or this tenant previously lent money to the borrower who owns the property, and then the lender, Vidar Bachatseiro, he's going to move into that property, Tzarech Lahalis Leisachar, he has to pay. So asks the Gemara, we needed an Amoira, we needed Rav Nachman to teach us this law. My Kumash Malan, what novelty is there? Tanina, this is what we learned in our Mishnah, that Amalvas Chaveiroi, that if one lends money to his friend, Lo Yadur Bachatseiro Chinam, he's no longer, during the time of the loan, allowed to live in the borrower's property for free. Likewise, even if he wants to pay rent, but he has to pay the real value, he can't say, give me a discount, I did you a favor, I lent you money. So it's a Mishnah. Why did we need the Rav Nachman? So clarifies the Gemara, Imi mas nisan, had we only had our Mishnah, hava mina, I would have thought, hanimili b'chatzir the kaimela agram, that maybe the Mishnah was only speaking about a case where the owner rents out those properties. That's different. And further, Gavra, the man who happens to be the lender, who moved into someone else's property, is someone, the Ovid Lemegar, he needs to rent a property. He doesn't have another option. He doesn't have his own house. So therefore, the Mishnah says, wow, if the owner is losing money by the fact that you're going in there and not paying rent, and you need a place, Zenehen of Zechaser, that's Mama Shribis. Maybe one would have learned the Mishnah that way. Avul Chatzir de Lekamela Agra. But if the borrower owns property that he does not rent out, and now the Gemara is adding something, Vegavra de Loy Ovid Lemegar, and the lender doesn't really even need to live there because he has another house. This is called Ze Loy Nehene, Ze Loy Chatzir. Not the owner loses. The tenant doesn't even benefit. He doesn't care if he sleeps here, if he sleeps there. He happened to be sleeping there. So, hey, Malah, you would think that there is no prohibition. So that's why Rav Nachman came and he said that even in such a case, you're not allowed to do it. Now, why are you not allowed to do it? This is going to be called Mechzek Ribis, because it looks like Ribis. It's not Ribis D'Oraisa. It's not even Ribis D'Rabbanan. It's not called Avak Ribis, it's called Mechzek Ribis. And we, as we spoke out many times, Ribis Doiraisa, we paskin like Rebbe Lazar, Yoitze Bedayonim. Bezdin will force you to return it. Avak Ribis, Bezdin will not force you to return it, but Lotze, Saladei Shomayim, you got to give it back. By Mechzek Ribis, we don't even say that. But you shouldn't do it. So Rav Nachman added the new concept of Mechzek Ribis. That is one version. Continues the Gemara, Ikad Amri, there is another version that's different. That Omar Rav Yosef, the son of Manyumein, the name of Rav Nachman. That Afal Pisha Omar Ador B'chatzar Chaveri Shalemin Da'atoy, even though we said that whoever lives on someone else's property without the owner's knowledge nor consent, when the owner normally does not rent out that property, so zel loy chaser, so we learned in Bava Kama, ein oit zorach lahalis loy sachar, the tenant doesn't have to pay him, zel ehenev zel loy chaser. However, now look at his case. If when the lender is lending the money, during the loan, the lender doesn't want to lend, the borrower is trying to entice him, please lend me money. And he tells the lender, Halveni, let me make a deal with you. Lend me money. Now, you're not allowed to pay ribis. But he tells him, and v'dor b'chatzeri, and I'll let you live in my yard. That's much worse. Because here they are making a deal during the loan. Lend me money. Now, he's not agreeing to give him additional money. He's allowing him to stay, even though that normally he doesn't lose anything from it. But here it's much worse. By the very fact that the borrower is telling this to the lender during the loan, that's mamash terrible. So again, even though normally, if he moves in there, he has to pay him. Because if he won't pay him, this is already ribis, and this is going to be ribis d'oraisa. This is not mechzek ribis. Now, the Gemara makes a very important point, that man da'amar hilvo'u, according to the first version, that the prohibition of doing it is even if the loan already happened. They didn't make up anything during the loan. Nevertheless, you owe money, don't benefit now from the borrower. It looks like ribis. Then certainly it's going to be prohibited when that agreement was done in order to make the loan happen. When the borrower is telling the lender, hey, do me a favor, lend me money, and you know what? A, I'll pay you back, and B, you can live in my house. However, Manda Amar Halveni, but according to the second version, that the Isur of Rav Nachman was only when they made that up during the loan. Avol Hilvo, but maybe in a case where the loan already happened. And let's go to how we learned before, in a case of Ze Loy Nehene, Ze Loy Chaser, in a case where the owner never rents it out. Where the lender, who's going to be the squatter, really did not need to live there. He didn't really benefit because he has another option. So in that case, the second version will hold that there is no problem. When he lent him the money, he didn't lend it because he's going to benefit. And when he's benefiting, again, we don't really consider this a halachic benefit. So therefore, the second version will not hold that it is prohibited. There is no mechsekedibis, which means that according to the second ikeda amri, our Mishnah must be speaking about a case where they articulated that deal during the loan, even though the Mishnah didn't write it. In other words, when we learn the Mishnah now, what's the Isser in the Mishnah? According to the first version, the Isser is an Isser midrabanan. It's not Mechsekedibis, because that's Rav Nachman's Chiddush. But the Mishnah is speaking about a case where Zenehene, Vezeloi Chaser. Then Rav Nachman added, even if it's Zeloinehene, Vezeloi Chaser, that's also Mechsekedibis. According to the second version, our Mishnah is speaking about the Ribis Midoiraisa, which means that if the borrower tells the lender, I need $100, God says I can't pay you back interest, you're not interested, okay, I won't pay you back more than $100, but move into my house. Move into my apartment, I'm not going to charge you. Or if my rent is $100, I'm going to charge you $50. That is Ribis Doiraisa, and that's the case of the Mishnah. Continues with the Gemara. Amazing scenarios, just to be more aware, how many transactions we do, even when it's not directly related to loans that could fall into Rabbinic Ribis or Mechsek Ribis. And look at the following case. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Tarkev Avdei De Inshi. The Masik Buhuzuzi Chevra, we learned this together in Bava Kama. It's a good review. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama was, number one, a generous person. He lent a lot of people money. And that's the way of the world. You lend people money, some people pay, some people don't. Now, the people who did not pay back the loans, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, what he did is that if those people owned slaves, during the time that they were not using their slaves were sitting idle, so Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama used to grab those slaves, and they had those slaves work for him. Now, let's not forget that sooner or later, they will pay back the money. Then it's going to come out, after they pay back the loan, what did Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama get? He got his money back, plus he used their slaves. Now again, this is definitely not Ribis Ktsutza. This is not Ribis Doiraisa. Ribis Doiraisa is only if you make an agreement while you lend the money. A specific, I'm going to lend you 100 and you're going to give me back 101 or 120, whatever the number is. That's not Ribis Ktsutza. So his son, Rava, humbly challenged his father. So Amalei Rava Berei Rava, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama's son Rava told him, "My Tama Ovid Marhachi, how can my master," referring to his father, "how can you do this?" Amalei, in other words, isn't this Ribis? So Amalei, so the father, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, told his son, "No, Anoke Rav Nachman Svirali," again Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a big expert here in Ribis. He tells him, "Amar Rav Nachman, that Avda Nuhum Kreisei Loi Shavi, that a slave is not worth the food that you feed him." Which means, what Rav Nachman was saying, that having a slave is convenient, but it never brings you profit. Because the value of his work is right away balanced back with the money that you have to use feeding him. In other words, since when the father was telling his son, when I grabbed that person's slave, I fed them during that time, and the food is worth the profit, it balances out the profit. So I really didn't take anything from someone else. So Amar Lei, so Rava tells his father, Emer, the Amar Rav Nachman, you know what type of slave was Rav Nachman referring to? His slave. His experience. He had a slave called Dari. Dari Avde. What did Dari Avde do? The last Rashi in the Amid says that his expertise was the slave, that he used to dance in taverns. So he did something that really didn't have so much value. Maybe if he would have lived today, they would have been more valuable. But then, you know, and the money to maintain the slave costed a lot. So for such a slave, if you work with him, that means he danced for you, and you fed him, you didn't gain anything. However, Avdi Achrinim Yomer, but when it comes to a normal slave, it's not true. If feeding them for the day will cost you $10, but the service that they will provide will be worth more than that. So you are actually getting a financial gain. Again, you didn't make it up when you gave the loan, but that's mamash ribis midrabanan. So Amalei, so again, Rav Yosef Bar Chama tells his son, "Ano ki hod Rav Daniel bar Rav Katina, Amar Rav Svirali, I follow another halacha, the halacha that was said in the name of Rav, the Amar that says, Hatoikev avdei shel chaverei, v'asu bei melacha. Forget about a lender. If I grab your slave, again, I grab your slave when you, the owner, are not working with him. That means when he's sitting idle. And I push it, worked. Again, I fed him. I didn't abuse him. but I didn't ask permission from the owner, so Rav Paskin Potter, I don't have to compensate the owner. Why? Because the nichale de loy nistere avde, because owners don't want their slaves to get lazy. This is really a lesson for us. It's amazing. People think that, yeah, I have to relax, I have to rest. Hashem gave us 15% to rest. Shabbos is 15%. If we don't rest 15%, then taka will, you know, will burn out. We're not minimizing the need to rest. But if we overrest, it doesn't bring us anything good. It's like oversleeping. You become lazy. So the owner is happy that you worked with the slave. He doesn't want a slave to get used to sitting idle. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama is telling his son, it's not ribis. Yes, I profited from it, but being that I only took the slaves from people who owe me money when they're not working with their slaves, they're happy that I took it. So Amar Lei, Rava still wasn't happy. Again, respectfully, he tells his father, you know what? We agree with that. Everything is very nice had you not lent him money. Now that we learned, what did we learn today? I had this new concept called Mechzek Ribis. It's like the lowest level of ribis. It's not ribis, it's not avak ribis. It looks like ribis. Doesn't look good. It's a chilul Hashem. Everyone knows that they owe you money. Everyone knows that they're not paying you back. It looks like you're saying, you know what, you're delaying payment? Let me get some benefit from the delayed payment. It doesn't look good. Hanamili, when do we agree with this halacha that since the owner doesn't want his slave to become to stay idle and become lazy, if you took him, you don't have to pay the owner? Hanamili hechadolei masik veizuzi. That's only if the person who grabbed the slave had not loaned the owner money. But Mar, my master, my father, kiven the masik bulzuze, since you lent these slaves' owners money, mechzek ribis. And he quotes the halacha that we just learned, the Amar Rav Yosef Bar Manyumi, in the name of Rav Nachman, that afal pisha amru, even though we learned in our Mishnah, that hador b'chatzar chaverish lemidatoi, even though we learned in Bava Kama, that if someone owns property and they do not rent it out, and you go ahead and you sleep there for a night, or longer, since the owner anyways would not have rented it out, we're not saying that you should do it, but a beis din cannot force you to pay. However, we also learned that if the borrower, who is the owner of this property, borrowed money from you, you the lender, you go live in his property, and if you go live in the one who is indebted to you in his property, you have to pay him. And why do you have to pay him? According to the first version, it's not ribis d'oraisa, it's not ribis midrabanan, it's mechzek ribis. It doesn't look good. Well, it doesn't look good, you know, father, that you're taking those people slaves. So Amar Lei, the father told his son, Hadribi, I regret. I won't do it any longer. You're right. Now, he didn't have to give the money back. You don't even need Latzei Sildei Shemayim. It's Mechzek. What we said in the introduction, again, Ribis Doraisa, Yoytze B'dayanim. Ribis Avak Ribis, Latzei Sildei Shemayim. Then we spoke out in the beginning, ribis mukdemis, ribis mucheres. By that type of ribis, we're not going to repeat the meaning of that now. You don't even need lots eis l'day shamayim. Same thing over here. By mechzek ribis, you don't even need lots eis l'day shamayim, but don't do it. So respectfully, the father, from then on, took upon himself
not to take the slaves,
but he kept on lending money. Even though, you know, sometimes that's part of the mitzvah. Emir Tz Hashem to be continued.